On Sunday, on Remembrance Day, tune into RN. We're looking back and remembering a group of men who risked their lives in World War One. RN's had access to what's really an extraordinary collection of World War One letters and diaries from the State Library of New South Wales. So keep that in mind for Sunday. On Bush Telegraph now, it's time for Food on Friday. The Royal Tasmanian Botanical Gardens recently hosted a soiree celebrating the importing of heirloom seed of 40 different tomato varieties. Margot Foster was there and she tracked down the women dedicated to preserving heritage vegetables. Janice Howard explains.
This particular collection right here was drawn from a rare tomato list, and it was part of an entire order that the gardens put in, and these were the ones that managed to come through quarantine. And because they're rare, they haven't been grown in, certainly not in Tasmania, but probably through Australia. And now you say they're American, they come from there, but a lot of them are Russian. And come from other places, of course, originally
Japan,
from,
I saw.
And yes, Japan and that sort of thing. Yeah. So that they're just the seed suppliers.
A California seed company committed to protecting heirloom species.
Absolutely, that's right. All organic, organically grown, all of that sort of stuff. Yeah, so, and they have about 600 varieties in their seed bank or their library, whatever they want to call it. We did order them going for flavor. That was the first priority. Can't see the point of growing a tomato if it doesn't have a nice flavor.
I'm with you there. But they do look pretty damn good.
They're excellent. But this one, this is Sunset's Red Horizon. And so this is a large Russian tomato. It's a cool climate one. And so this one grows in those cooler conditions. Many of the tomatoes here were selected for either short season, which means you can have frosts at either end so that you have a short growing season then, or a cool or high altitude season. So like where I live down the channel, we have a cool growing season, but a very long one. So we can actually ripen tomatoes well into April. Same way with this one over here. This is a Rouge de Marmande. This is a French heirloom, and it ripens early. So that's actually good for Tasmania. And it's a very hardy, you know, medium-sized red tomato, very juicy and very delicious, excellent flavor.
Now, what part did you play in getting these plants here?
We're going to talk about obsession, all right? Anyways, I belong to the South Channel Garden Club, and just the association that the club has had with the gardens over the years, and they said, oh, there's somebody over there who knows a lot about heirlooms, and I think the gardens has had a lot of requests from growers and the slow food people and some of the chefs. You know, they go traveling and they taste these and they want to have them here, but because of the quarantine restrictions, it's very difficult to get them. Anyway, so Margot said, let's try. I met her, let's try, and we sat down, we ordered, and then the seeds came, they went to quarantine, and here they all are. Not all of them, okay, some of them didn't make it through, that's good. Okay, but these are the ones who are clean and disease-free, and here they are.
My name is Margot White, and I've been working at the Royal Tasmanian Botanical Garden since 1975.
What's the process of getting tomatoes in?
When you bring a tomato seed in, you go through quarantine. They do a test for four different viruses over a period of a couple of weeks. They grow the plants and then test the new leaves. And unfortunately, some of ours didn't pass the muster.
But that's not deterring you. You're just anticipating better luck next year.
Yeah.
Let's just say some of the names. There's Zephon Short, Sunset's Red Horizon, Sasha's Altai, and Japanese Black Triphala.
Yes, and apparently that one is very, very rare as far as the availability of the seed. Even in America it's rare, so
you know, even the leaves look a bit different on these two.
They're potato leaf tomatoes, and so where they've come from is from colder climates. And there's two types of tomato leaf, and you can get the regular, which is what you would see normally, and the potato leaf, yeah.
So it seems that there's some special advantages here. You can have tomatoes longer, you can have tomatoes in cooler places, and all of these pass the taste test.
That's right. So, yeah, that's not too bad, is it?
I think it's fantastic. So let's have a look at these short season ones, and again, marvellous, marvellous names. Orange Roma, Early Annie, Buckby's New 50 Day, Super yeah. Marmande.
Yes.
It goes on and on.
Yeah, the Pêche Jaune is interesting because it actually has a little fuzz over the tomato.
Like a peach.
Yeah, but it also will get to maturity from a flower to edible in 67 days, which isn't too bad.
And Buckby's new 50-day, that's showing off a bit.
Yeah, 55 days, well, 50 days. That is pretty good. And they're flowering in the pots now, so that will be pretty good.
So growers in cooler places in Australia might keep a lookout for these.
Yes, well, that's actually the next process of what this is all about. We're hoping to get seed savers on board so I don't have to go through the trials and tribulations of quarantine after.
But even looking around this little room, I just love the names.
Oh, same.
Tell me your favourites.
Oh, well, things like Sweet Pea Currant. That's the smallest tomato ever. It says that the tomatoes resemble ruby jewels. That's pretty lovely. The Italian tree, that's interesting because that grows to 5 metres, which is an enormous plant. And also it's one of the potato leaf,
yes,
which is interesting.
Yes, it's quite different to orange banana here.
It's funny because every one of them, even though all of the plants have been grown at the same time, they all have different characteristics even now. You can see the taller ones, the smaller ones.
Some are really bushy and dense and other ones are a little bit sort of leggy.
Yeah.
So they're all quite different. We've just looked at this Marmande.
Yes. Oh, there's another one there. I see there's the Marmande and the Super Marmande, taken from the Marmande and then maybe gone through a couple of other generations, maybe crossed with something, I don't know, but that doesn't make it an heirloom. But
can I ask you what makes it an heirloom?
It has to be at least 50 years old. It has to grow through 2 human generations, been saved, and that makes it an heirloom. There's different categories. This thing called a created heirloom, which is like the good example of that would be the green zebra tomato. Tom Wagner, he created that a while ago now, but that's from 2 other heirlooms. All right, so that one sneaks in under there.
That's fantastic. I could create an heirloom.
You could create an heirloom. That's right. If you knew something about plant breeding.
Okay.
Yep.
So it's all down to my seed saving and observation.
That's right. And then a lot of trial with crossing in sort of forced pollination, and then just growing them out and growing them out and growing them out until you get something that's different and something that you want to keep. Now, this is an interesting one, Indian Moon. I'm a bit of a cookbook collector, and particularly the books on anything to have to do with tomatoes, and Lawrence Davis Hollander, he says that Indian Moon, as far as he's concerned, is the most flavorful of the orange tomatoes. So we thought, well, we'll have to have that. So we've ordered that. And I found out later on that it's a Indian Navajo heirloom. Santa Clara Canner. This is interesting because I did grow up in the Santa Clara Valley in California when it was, it's the Silicon Valley now, but when I grew up there, it was all apricot and plum orchards. And anyway, this is a very well-known commercial tomato in California, but it's actually from Italy originally. All right, so it's a big Italian one, and so we ordered that because it's sort of an all-purpose one.
That's what I want, an all-purpose tomato, right, but then I couldn't resist this Sweet Pea Currant.
Oh, yes, well, the only thing that I can tell you about the currant tomatoes is that you have to be careful when you plant them. They need to be kept separate from your other tomatoes. And in fact, if you really are keen about saving seeds and you want to keep the purity of the variety, you need to plant the plants at least 5 meters apart. And this isn't always easy in a suburban garden.
Well, thank you for that tip, because I've bought 4 and yes. I would have been likely to poke them all in together.
No. You have to be careful with the currant tomatoes because they cross like mad.
Mm.
All right.
You've had a good chance to case the joint and make a decision.
That's right.
How many will you pick and what are you picking?
Oh, this one, this Blondkopfchen. This is a little orange yellow cherry that's supposed to be very sweet and incredibly prolific. All right, so I'm very keen to try that one. And same way over here with this Moscovich. This one is early. As you can see, it matures in 60 days. And it's a Russian one, cold tolerant. So if we have a bad summer, at least I'll know I'll get some of these.
Well, good growing.
Good grow. Thank you very much. We always pray for a good tomato season.
this season with this amazing display. What are you going to do?
I'm going to go into pots because that way I can grow more, I think, in sunny areas in my garden. I'll be growing maybe 5 or 6 different ones, but concentrating really well on that.
And Indira Naidu's here tonight, and she's a pot gardener extraordinaire, so she might have some tips on what to put in those pots. Now, Indira, this is very exciting because you're a very enthusiastic balcony gardener.
I am. I'm growing about 38 different vegetables and herbs and fruit on my balcony at the moment. I've already put in some of my tomatoes, but looking at the wonderful variety, I'm thinking I may take a few up and plant them on my little balcony in Potts Point, Sydney, because they're looking amazing.
When I go to the shop, you know, often I'll just go, oh, I want something that's safe, so I'll go for a gross list. And then I might say, oh, I want to go for something to cook with, a Roma or a tomato or something little. What would you choose?
What I tend to find where I live in Sydney is that we are prone to whitefly, and the larger varieties tend to attract greater numbers of whitefly. So I tend to grow the smaller cherry varieties, the grape varieties.
Oh, we'll come over here.
Yeah. So I've got my eyes on this orange banana, which looks beautiful. So it's almost shaped like a Roma, but it's got a beautiful orange colour to it as well. And then there's another one over here, although it's a larger variety, that says it's a lemony flavoured tomato.
Oh, yes, I missed that one.
So I'm interested in that one as well. And then look at these black ruffles. Look how dark purpley black the photo of those tomatoes
are. I know, and the texture of that tomato, it's not a smooth round one.
No, it's beautiful. It's nice and gnarly and lots of voluptuous curves in it. So
you go for a bit of colour, something unusual.
Well, this is a thing a lot of people don't realise with edible gardening, is that the vegetables and the fruit and the flowers add lots of colour to your space. So people think, oh, if I want colour, I grow ornamentals. But vegetables, you know, are just beautiful colours. So as well as going for flavour and texture and taste of tomatoes, I do like having, you know, a little corner where you've got some purples and reds and yellows and oranges. It looks really pretty as well.
Hey, can I ask you, do you keep your seeds?
I do. I've started seed saving actually from when I first started experimenting with gardening. My husband finds it very embarrassing. But when I go to a restaurant sometimes and I taste a delicious tomato, I'll just roll up some of the seeds and in my little napkin and pop it in my handbag and propagate those varieties. So I've done that. I don't know how legal that is, but
I think it's perfectly legal.
Oh, okay.
You bought the food.
Yeah, that's true.
You take the pips home.
But I just think it's a wonderful thing to realise, and I think that that's what's important about safeguarding this sort of arc of taste and safeguarding lots of these heirloom varieties, is to remind people that, you know, everything that we eat basically comes from little seeds, and these tiny little seeds create such a wide variety of an extraordinary plant life and vegetable and fruit and herb life, and anyone can do it. It's a wonderful lost art of propagating things from seed and saving all these wonderful, you know, treasures for future generations. So I get really, really excited about seeing the variety that we've got in this room of tomatoes. I mean, you know, people get used to just going to the supermarket and getting one or two tomatoes or one or two varieties of potatoes, when there are thousands of varieties around the world that taste much better than what we usually get access to in our commercial sort of suppliers. So get into tomatoes, everyone.
Author and pot gardener extraordinaire, Indira Naidu, proving that small spaces need not inhibit gardening passion. We also heard from horticulturalist at the Royal Tasmanian Botanical Gardens, Margot White, and seed saver and propagator, Janice Howard. Margot Foster with That Food on Friday. That is the program for today and for the week, for that matter. Big thanks to the entire team this week. Executive producer has been Greg Muller. Producers Karen McLennett, Belle Tromp, Georgia Power and Margot Foster. And a big special thanks to our technical producers this week, Chris Thompson and Angie Grant as well. Remember, you can keep up to speed with any of our stories over the weekend by visiting the webpage, and you can podcast or download the audio to listen to anytime you want. That'll do us for the week. Stay on RN now, because news is next. Cameron Wilson's my name. I'll see you on Monday.